Mr. Clarkson, reel 40.
Incidentally, we found out that he had a couple of cases of whiskey on there as well. And so the next day, of course, our skipper, he was furious. Lost the Dow, and they lost the fortnight's issue of rum, which they actually were only entitled to the one tot each for that day. And so we had to go in and salve this, the guns. They were down there. And so an armour and I were, we weren't divers, but we had to go in a whaler and salve these. Well, they were bolted down to the thwarts, naturally. And it was a case of, as I say, it wasn't deep water, about 8 or 10 feet. You had to dive down to get to the where the bolts were. And so we'd go down there with a spanner, take off a couple of turns, quick, back to the surface again. And we were down there all day, and eventually we got these two guns hoisted up out of it. And then there was apparently an Italian dhow also on this stunt, and they came and moored up alongside of us. And we kept on still diving after we got these guns up. What we were looking for were these two cases of whiskey. And anyhow, towards evening, I thought, well, we better pack up and get back to the ship, these guns, and let them make a signal to tell them we've got them. And then these Italians said, what are you looking for now? You've got your two guns. We said, we're looking for a couple of cases of whiskey. Oh, we said, we got those. They got them before we ever went in there. But the, I'll never forget that officer. Well, where were we then?
You were just talking about the dough and the whiskey. What actually were you mainly engaged in the Red Sea? What reason were you there for what? That length of time? What sort of work were you doing? What sort of activities were you getting up to?
Well, as you know, all Arabia nearly was full of Turks.
That's right.
Right from down at Aden, they were down in Aden, at Sheikh Gothman, Lohia, Hodeida, Mocha, El Wedge, right away up to Akabar, all the way up there, Turks were there. And their supplies were coming across from Somaliland and places like that. And the we were naturally trying to stop them getting any supplies there. And then with Lawrence on there, we were keeping his army supplied with water, provisions, and paying them. We used to take down about £25,000 in gold sovereigns and pay them in nice little boxes.
This was to pay Ron Lawrence's troops.
They £4 a month, they got.
That was his Arab.
Arabs.
Legion.
Yes. Well, then we were there. We kept them supplied with stores, money, and that. Also, incidental jobs we had. One of them was to escort the Holy Carpet down every year down to Mecca.
Tell me about that first.
Well, we used to pick the. Suez. Suez, we used to pick it up. I don't know. Or would it be, was it coming up from Africa? Wherever it was, we used to pick it up and escort it to Hodeida. I think it was Hodeida. That's just off Mecca.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
This ship, it had a carpet on it. And thousands and thousands of pilgrims. And then we used to escort it right into Hodeida. I'm sure it was Hodeida. And the carpet used to escort, our boats used to escort the carpet ashore there, and all these Arabs, Mohammedans, they used to go in for the festival there. But that was only Well, that was a job that one of the jobs we had.
Why were you on the Empress of Britain? Had she been taken over by the Navy for the work, for the storing and the why were you on the Empress of Britain at that time and not on a fighting ship? Was that
the Empress of Japan was? She was an armed liner.
She
was
an armed liner.
Yes, yeah. We had 8 4.7 guns on there then.
She wasn't there as a cargo ship delivering stores. That's what I'm
saying. Oh dear, no, no. No. When I joined the Empress of Japan, that was in Aden.
Yeah.
She was on this patrol, right, Red Sea, and ran as far as the Persian Gulf. There was the Empress of Japan, the Empress of Russia, and the Empress of Asia. The Empress of Russia and Empress of Asia were two modern three funnelers, they were. The Empress of Japan, she was the oldest ship, I think, in the CPR line. She had a turtle back bow, which I've seen since.
Where have you seen it
since? Yes. When I went, it was in Vancouver on the Dauntless. It happened to be the time when the new Empress of Japan came on a maiden voyage. She came in there with all her flags flying, and up in Stanley Park in Vancouver, I went up there and saw the bows of the old Empress of Japan that I'd been sick over many and many a time. They're mounted in Stanley Park on a huge concrete plinth.
Really?
Yeah. And talk about seeing old ships. The tears came out of my eyes when I looked at that. Because she was a very old ship, as Empress of Japan.
And you said you were sick over her many times. Did you get sick in her because she was a turtle deck?
Well, whether it was that or whether I could be sick on any ship, my experience of seasickness was really bad. I used to get seasick on the Empress of Japan, and I remember it got so bad that I only had to hear the anchor coming up through the cable, and I'd start being sick. And we had on there the carpenter of the ship. He was classed as a chief shipwright, but he was the CPR carpenter of the ship before she was taken over by the Navy. A funny thing, he hated anybody in the Navy. He really hated it. And my opposite number and I, young Goble, he was only a year older than me. Now, when we went to sea on the Empress of Japan, the hawse pipe was so low, it was only just nearly down to the waterline, that the anchor had to be catted. Now, when you went to sea...
Catted? What's that again? I can't remember.
Well, you hoist it up. You bring it up until she's still below the hull, and then she's hooked on, brought up, and laid on a bed on the forecastle and bolted down there. Well, the result was, this hawse pipe was so low to the water that when we went to sea, the sea could come rushing up there and flood the forecastle head. And, of course, everybody used to be drowned. So the routine when we went there was to, as the anchor was catted, so we had plugs. Long plug, about 6 foot long, with a groove in it where the cable could come to. That was put down the hawse pipe from under the forecastle head. And then a long iron plate went through on a groove that went along. And then that was shored down to the deck head because he used to get such bad seas up there. And I've been onto there when they shoring this lot up and being seasick. Ooh, up and down, we go in the bows. And this old... chief shipwright, he was a Canadian. And he'd swearing and shouting at me, "Where's Goebel? Where's your opposite number?" And I knew where Goebel was. He was stretched out in the carpenter's shop, seasick, same as I was. But Goebel, he refused to come out. And I remember him shouting at me one day, and I was knocking the wedges in this plate, tightening them, and he was saying, "Damn and bugger your bloody eyes, all everything that I was doing was wrong." And I said, "I'm doing my best," and I turned around and I was sick, all over his beard. He was a bloke that's supposed to have fallen off a skyscraper or something in Vancouver sometime, brother, and he had a permanent kink in his neck with his head one side, and he grew a set of whiskers to match that. And I remember being sick over this lot. There was bits of turnip and sweet and all that sticking in his whiskers. He was mad. But that, I was sick then, and I was, every time we went to see, I was sick. And then a fellow in a leading hand of our mess, he was a telegraphist, he said, "I'll cure you two blokes," he said, "of being seasick." And so he filled up two pint glasses of lime juice. He used to get plenty of lime juice there. And he got some Eno's fruit salts, emptied nearly a bottle into these two. And of course, all fuzz up, and he says, "Get that down you." And we did. And it came up straight away. So that even the smell of lime juice turns my stomach now. And then when we eventually, they decided that we were going to Hong Kong to refit. And I always remember going round to Aden Point there, and by Jove, it was a monsoon season, and it was blowing there, and nearly everybody was seasick. And funny enough, to see other people sick made me feel all right. And the after a few days on our way to Colombo, so I began to feel all right. But all the 22 years I was in the Navy, I was never really cured. I used to get violent headaches while we were at sea. And I didn't vomit, but I never liked it.
And there's no cure for it that you ever found? No one
I don't think so.
A proper cure.
No.
I don't think
there is. This Captain Boyle, the Earl of Cork and Orrery, is his father, by the way, invented the orrery. Now, he was a fellow who suffered from seasickness, but he wouldn't stop in harbour. Oh, no. And I'll tell you one little story about him. We had to rig a barrel. I had that job. A special lookout barrel right up the top of the mast. We went up there on the foremost, and then we had a wooden topmast up above that. This was all for wireless, at half as high as possible, I suppose. Well, they decided we're going to put a barrel up there for extra lookout, and we're going to have a signalman in there. And my opposite number, he couldn't stand heights. And much to my delight, the job came to me. I was all right, I could stand heights then. And I went up with an able seaman, Slaney, I always remember, Slasher Slaney. And we worked up there for a fortnight, and it was an empty rum barrel that we had. And I made some brackets, and we had to get this mast, and you had to climb backwards when you got to the wooden topmast, up a Jacob's ladder. And here we eventually got up there and bolted this thing with these clips around the mast. And then we put a nice seat in there so that the signalman could have a comfortable seat. He'd just sit in there and look over the top. And the signalman had to keep 4-hour watches up there. Well, this Curly Birch out of our mess, he was up there one afternoon, and the ship was on this slow patrol, 7 miles one way and 7 miles the other, and she was heeling over. Of course, being right up there, you went over a long way. And eventually, Curly wanted to be sick. And so he looked round. The skipper was on the bridge, and he was frightened of being sick over the side of the barrel. It might blow over down there. So he took the pillow slip cover off, and he was sick in that. And
pillow slip cover off what?
Hmm?
Off what?
This pillow that he was sitting on,
oh,
on a hard seat. He took that off, and he was sick in the pillow slip cover. And then eventually he thought, well, I'd better get rid of this. So he waited until the ship went over to the port side, and he slung it. Unfortunately, a sea hit the ship and knocked it back, and down came this bag, and it dropped right on the bridge at the skipper's feet. And that made him sick. It burst open. And the captain, he was by...